Welcome to Expanding Your Faith, a podcast hosted by Bishop Greer Godsey of the Old Catholic Churches International. Expanding Your Faith brings together a panel of well-educated clergy and laity to discuss modern events with a biblical perspective. Our podcast is about to start. Please stay tuned. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of Expanding Your Faith, the podcast where open minds and open hearts meet to explore life's deepest questions. I'm your host, Bishop Greer, and joining me today is Reverend Mark.
Greetings, everyone.
And today we're going to dive into a topic that's often overlooked and misunderstood, spirituality for skeptics. It's going to be interesting. Whether you're a lifelong doubter or curious agnostic or a believer seeking to understand those types of questions we all have on our mind, this episode is for you. Over the next 50 minutes, we're going to unpack the spirituality of what it means, what spirituality means beyond religious dogma, explore its relevance to those who call themselves skeptics, and provide practical ways, even for the most questioning among us, to experience connection, meaning, and awe. So let's get to taking a look here and see what we got. So I think we need to start by defining our terms, and that way we know what we're talking about. So the two main terms we're going to talk about today is spirituality, which is often misunderstood to mean religion. And that is not necessarily true. Spirituality can be separate from religion. For instance, many view spirituality as an individual search for meaning, connection, and transcendence, sometimes within and sometimes beyond traditional religious framework. We know quite a few people that consider themselves spiritual but not religious. So that's very good. It involves seeking a sense of purpose, awe, and unity, whether that's through nature, art, meditation, or service to others. Reciprocity. My anthropology professor would be so happy to know that I got a chance to mention reciprocity outside of an anthropology class. Skepticism, on the other hand, is not simply about disbelief. At its core, skepticism is about inquiry, asking questions, seeking evidence, and refusing to accept claims without thoughtful examination. A skeptic values critical thinking, logic, and often scientific rigor. So, a lot of people think that skeptics, by their very nature, are not spiritual. They also tend to think that, you know, skeptics can't have any kind of faith whatsoever because their skepticism blocks out their faith. But that's simply just not true. Spirituality and skepticism not only can coexist, but they oftentimes overlap in their journeys towards a certain form of truth, as it were.
Yeah, and most of the time in spiritual circles / religious circles, you have people that are putting down folks that call into question certain practices or beliefs. And for some reason, people that are spiritual, people that are religious, a lot of times feel like you're being disrespectful, as right. opposed to most people that are skeptical simply have questions. Mm-hmm. They have a past basis of seeing things not pan out or seeing things that claim to be truth.
Right.
And that truth either falls through or they don't see what the truth claims to be.
Right.
So they fall back into not necessarily what we would categorize as unbelief or reprobate minds or anything like that.
Right.
They would just simply stand back and go, I've not seen what you're talking about actually work, or I've not seen what you're talking about be relevant, or I've not seen what you're talking about make change.
Right.
So, calling into question is, I think, something that is placed inside of us to open up our desire to explore and have answers. You know, that's why we usually go to the depths of oceans and sort outer space, shoot things that cost billions of dollars right out into the universe with cameras to transmit back to us pictures and images and, you know,
right,
spend a lot of money on probes that go to foreign planets and they last 30 seconds in the atmosphere,
right,
gathering what little data they can. And
right.
I think by nature we ask questions. You know, little kids, I was up with my sister briefly this afternoon, and she was watching one of her grandkids, and I think he's like four-ish. And she was telling him, don't go to a particular part of the yard. He was outside. He was playing in a little kiddie pool, you know, maybe a foot deep or less, whatever it was. And he's having a blast, and he's doing what kids do, jump in and out of the water, and he was running across the yard and then running back to jump in the water, which was hilarious because as far as he'd run, he'd stop before he'd get in the pool and then get in.
Right.
So all his momentum, he'd stop. Right. But she was telling him, don't go in a particular area, to come back that way, and he immediately, why? You know, why? You know, kids are always asking why, or what's that for, or what are you doing?
Right.
So it's in our nature to say, I don't understand. And are people really skeptics, or are they just embracing a natural, hey, I don't know, I'm not
right
sure.
Right.
You know, can you show me?
There's a certain amount of curiosity that comes with just naturally being human.
Yep.
You know, and so sometimes I think, like you're saying, that a person may label themselves agnostic or even atheist because of their skeptical nature. But that skeptical nature doesn't necessarily mean they're 100% atheist or 100% agnostic. It just means that they are still journeying, still searching for what they view as truth versus that certainty that they found truth.
Or we label them that.
Or we label them, yeah, right. So many people get labeled as atheists or agnostic when, in reality, their spiritual practice is just private to them.
You know, they didn't even know they were that.
Not right. They had no idea they had been labeled as such. But, you know, yeah, hey, now you know, right? So there are some common myths about spirituality and skepticism. Now, I think that it would be interesting to clear up. Myth number one is skeptics are closed-minded.
I think that's the opposite.
I think that's very much the opposite. They are open to new ideas, provided there's good evidence. They typically don't stubbornly reject everything spiritual, but it's about testing and exploring claims. So they have a very inquisitive nature. They want to know more, but they need evidence, they need proof, or they need at least something tangible to hang on to. So that doesn't mean that they're closed-minded. That just means that they're still searching for that evidence, for that information that they haven't found yet.
Yeah. I think some of the most closed-minded people are spiritual/religious people. I've told you the story infamously of the me preaching one time and the person coming up after the service and borderline yelling at me that what I was preaching was not accurate, and the apostles agree and their wives, the epistles agree that you are wrong and they're in their books of the Bible.
Right.
And I had to say the who?
Their wives, the epistles.
And I'm going, okay, do I engage this? This person is obviously set in their way, and I kind of inched a little forward on something to see if they were even somewhat receptive. And, I mean, they shut me down so fast, you know, no, those other books of the Bible are the wives of the apostles. And I'm going,
right.
Okay. So immediately, you know, I've come to realize that some of the most closed-minded individuals are people that, you know, I've heard it preached this way, or I've had it taught this way, or I've had this particular experience, and it's always been this particular way.
Right.
And, you know, and you show them mistranslations, or you show them what another passage of scripture says, or you show them something, and, you know, yeah, it blows their, or you put the scripture in context, or you put something in context, or you talk about, well, perhaps from a different perspective, it's this way. Absolutely not. They're just, they're gung-ho, and they're not going to move. Mm-hmm. You know, there's very few things that I will say that it's an absolute certainty that will never change, and my mind will not change on it. You know, one of them is I believe that God, the divine, loves us with an unconditional love, and that God wants fellowship with us no matter who we are. Right. That's a belief that I hold to my core based on Christ's teachings and so forth. But there's other things that I'm like a little fuzzy on. You know, I've studied scripture all of my teenage and adult life, and there's a lot of things that I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't know what that means, or, oh yeah, I'm not sure what the scripture says, or, or my belief or my understanding of it has evolved.
Right.
And, you know, used to, I wouldn't put any stock in someone saying they were spiritual and believing that they were on the road that would lead them towards understanding God better or more than me. I'd say that's not possible.
Right.
And instead, I step back and realize we're all on journeys that get us to places that connect us deeper with God. And one of the best examples is the Apostle Paul.
Right.
I mean, someone who is diametrically opposed to the teachings of Jesus and murdering the people that were spreading that message gets converted and is on a journey, and then God pulls them in. So if God can pull in people like Apostle Paul, anybody that's just remotely trying to discover truth and life and the way to live, I think we'll find it.
Right. And that leads us to myth number two. Spirituality requires belief in the supernatural. Many people find spiritual fulfillment through entirely naturalistic expressions. Reverend Mark says, okay, we're going to have a talk here. Standing in awe of the universe, for example, or feeling a sense of interconnectivity with human beings. I think that there's some truth here to a certain degree, because I think that in some regards, while spirituality doesn't require a belief in the supernatural, I think that it ultimately leads eventually to a belief in the supernatural. I think that when we start somewhere, that it'll lead us to that final end point where we need to be.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, especially some of those that are, you know, more, that use religion and spirituality as kind of a badge of honor. For some of them, they never make it to the end of that progress, though, because they are happy just being spiritual. They're happy just being that far and no further, and they don't work to progress. And that's true in all states of being, whether it be someone who is a skeptic or someone who's a Christian. You know, there are a lot of people who get saved, become Christians, get baptized, join a church, and that's the end of it. But they don't progress anywhere past that.
Yeah. Learn to bring a casserole dish. That's
right. That's it. You're done. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's true of a lot of different people. But I think that while, you know, belief in the supernatural is not a prerequisite for spirituality, I think it leads to that eventually. And myth three, nobody can hear her because she's not on a microphone. What did you say again? Dana says that she thinks that we need to separate spirituality from religion. Spirituality is more of a personal relationship with God, and religion is more of worshiping God. And that's very true. She's very true about that.
Let's get that lady a microphone over there real quick.
Yeah. And that's true. And that's what we're trying to separate out too. And I think that we mentioned that at the very beginning.
Well, and to your point, whereas, you know, attempting to get to that place of embracing that divine, you know, we're all called and we're all in need of being like a tree,
right,
or a plant. You know, it's often referred to in our passages of scripture that trees, you know, we can be like trees planted by waters whose roots won't go dry. And, you know, what do we know about trees? They don't stop going deeper until they die.
Right.
They don't stop reaching for depth and more nutrients until they're dying, until they die.
Right.
And so we as people, as human beings, whether we're embraced in our religious practices or our spiritual desire, you know, we should all have that, you know, I don't quite understand it all, but I'm going to keep pushing till I grow, or till I do understand, or till I go deeper.
Right.
And we should all embrace the fact of, you know, we shouldn't stop growing until, you know, we die, and then who cares?
Right. Right. Myth number three is spirituality and science are enemies. This is a big one because we get this a lot as Christians, even. This idea that Christianity or spirituality is somehow diametrically opposed to science. Many scientists and skeptics have deep spiritual lives, drawing inspiration from the wonders of discovery and the beauty of mathematics, or the grandeur of the cosmos. I mean, look at, you know, a lot of people are caught up in the idea that Darwin created the theory of evolution. But actually, the very first ideas of evolution predated Darwin by about a decade or so. And it was a French priest at the Vatican's Institute of Science. Believe it or not, the Vatican has an Institute of Science. And a French priest in their Institute of Science came up with the theory of evolution before Darwin. So you don't get much more spiritual than a priest. And he's coming up with this scientific theory of evolution to explain the cosmos and everything in it. So, you know, while a lot of people are out there attacking science, especially things like evolution, they forget the fact that these theories came from people who had deeply spiritual lives. These were not people out bent on destroying Christianity.
Right. Most people that are scientists, doctors, people that embrace, you know, the studies of theories and so forth, most of those individuals I find are people that enjoy digging to understand the complexities of creation. We have, you know, we have a lot of doctors and nurses and people in our church that you know, come on a regular basis and worship. And I know a lot of several friends of mine that are scientists, and they all have a strong faith and spiritual walk. And, you know, they'll look at you and they'll talk about the complexities, and then they'll wrap it back to, isn't it amazing how God made all of that? Or isn't it amazing how the Creator, or how this came into being, and so forth? And to me, it just talks about the depth of where we are, the amazing, you know, anytime, you know, I watch documentaries on, you know, exploring the oceans and looking in under the sea, you know, the amount of ocean that's been explored by us is very small percentage still to this day. And the fact that there are creatures that they still discover on a regular basis in the oceans. And we've, you know, humanity's been on the earth for quite some time, and we're still making discoveries about our own planet. Yeah. And to me, that just, you know, how much more in discovering the vastness of the universe. So science enables us to peer into that on a realistic level, you know, being able to actually see things and see the complexities and understand how things work. And, you know, a lot of times people say, you know, spirituality and science can't work together. You know, then you need to stop going to the doctors, because it took science to understand, understand all that.
Right. And we see so many Christians, too, who, you know, point to science and say, it's of the devil. It's evil. Well, then why are you going to the doctor when you are in pain, when you're sick? You know, science is evil, you know? You shouldn't be going. So one of the other things that I want to talk about a little bit is science and the spiritual experience. Okay? So scientific research, now this is interesting, because this is an area that I studied when I was in clinical psychology courses at the University of South Carolina in Aiken, is that numerous studies have shown that people who engage in spiritual practices, whether prayer, meditation, or spending time in nature, often report higher well-being, greater resilience, and increased empathy. It's this idea of a spiritual brain, that we are in some way connected physiologically to our spiritual practice, okay? Neuroscientists have discovered that spiritual experiences, even in those people that don't believe in any deity, activate areas of the brain associated with pleasure, connection, and meaning, as well as it tends to help the body heal faster. People engaged in spiritual practices who have undergone major surgeries heal faster than those who don't engage in spiritual practices after major surgeries. It's absolutely fascinating information. And to give you some ideas, there are a couple of peer-reviewed studies that I would point to. And one of them is psychosocial spiritual well-being is related to resilience and mindfulness in patients with severe and or life-limiting medical illness. You can find that at the NIH, the National Library of Medicine website. We'll have that link in the podcast information. But that's a study done by four scientists at Pain and Palliative Care Services for the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland, and a doctor from Biostatistics and Clinical Epidemiology Services at the National Institute of Health. So, and they point out that, you know, people with chronic illnesses tend to fare better when they practice some sort of spiritual practice in their day-to-day lives than people who don't.
Well, and most spiritual practices, you know, my faith teaches us to, you know, take time to remember and to reflect and to take time to meditate, to take time to rest,
right,
and to trust, trust that things are going to work out, to spend time. And that's on a daily basis. We're called to allow our lives to slow down and to not engage in the constant busyness that surrounds us. And, you know, science has proven that rest is essential for recovery, for healing, and so forth. You know, there's so many ailments that are perpetuated or made worse by our lack of resting, by our lack of sleep. You know, I recently went through a spurt of about 6 months where I just didn't really rest that much, didn't take a break, and just constant giving out and doing and doing. And then finally, a few weeks ago, took a break. I can tell you immediately coming off that break is the difference between night and day as far as my thinking, as far as, you know, what I do as a minister. And then, you know, I was sitting today and I was reading, going through and preparing for some stuff tomorrow. And I realized that, you know, I'm just knocking out what I'm reading and just comprehending because I have rested. And, you know, that's a practice that we're encouraged to do in our spiritual walk. And so embracing, you know, I know how I feel when I'm outside, fresh air that's hitting me.
Right.
Listening to nature do its thing, you know, birds chirping, you know, frogs croaking in the night, and so on and so forth. And it's just amazing to me. It reminds me that there's life all around me.
Right.
And that life is continuing despite maybe a depressive state that I'm in or maybe a tired state that I'm in, that life continues. So I think 100% that those two things working together to prove that if we embrace a spiritual walk, that science proves that it is a huge benefit.
Right. Practices like mindfulness and loving kindness meditation have been rigorously studied and found to strengthen neural pathways associated with compassion, attention, and emotional regulation. I was in a class at the University of South Carolina in Aiken called Pro-Social Behavior. And it was a brand new class. It was the very first time they had done it. And the professor basically built this class from scratch. And it was about, number one, teaching us the psychology behind pro-social behavior. You know, pro-social behavior being, you know, that behavior which is we go out and we do good things for other people, not expecting anything in return. Okay, that's what pro-social behavior is. Because a lot of people go out and do things for others expecting something in return. And that's not truly pro-social behavior because you're expecting something in return. You're expecting some reciprocity. And so in this class, there were about 20 of us. And about half of us were religious, spiritual. And the other half considered themselves not religious or spiritual at all. And at the end of the class, looking at the data, they had done just as much, and if in some cases more, pro-social activity, the people who were not spiritual or religious, than those of us who were spiritual or religious, which I thought was very interesting. So it just goes to show that these types of things don't necessarily depend upon someone being spiritual or religious in order for them to do good things and to be good people, you know?
I think that shows our focus in our religious and our spiritual walk is completely off. If the fact that somebody who is non-spiritual religious is putting into practice the teachings, at least from our faith, the teachings that say for us to actually go do that.
Right.
And they're seeing more success than those of us who are called to do that, who are supposed to do that based on our faith. It shows me that you know, that maybe the religious folks, we have our priorities in the wrong place.
Certainly. Absolutely. 100%. So if you're listening and you're wondering what you can do to be spiritual, you know, as a skeptic, as somebody who may not believe in anything in particular, what can you do to have kind of a spiritual moment? Well, one of the things you can do is mindful awareness. Try setting aside a few moments each day to simply notice your thoughts, feelings, and sensations without judgment. Mindfulness doesn't require belief, just attention. And it's one of those things that any of us can do, is just stopping and taking notice of your breathing. Just sit there and notice your breath in and out, in and out. As you try to just clear your thoughts of any thoughts, you know, just try not to focus on any thought in particular. Just be present in the moment and pay attention to your breathing. You know, maybe even imagine something that's peaceful, or, you know, forest walk or walk on the beach or something of that nature. Nature walks is another great way to connect spiritually. Spending time in nature, paying close attention to patterns, sounds, and the simple act of being present. Many skeptics describe profound feelings of awe and humility in nature. Reverend Mark knows all about this. He just came back from nature and camping. So he's well aware of how great nature can be.
Yeah, the first night that I was out camping, it rained. Oh, it wasn't a monsoon or anything like that. It was just a, you know, steady rain for about an hour and a half. And the cabin that I had rented, it had a little porch, and so I had brought a chair and everything, and I was just sitting out there. And I was just, I put my phone down, turned my music off. I had been listening to, had made myself just listen to, you know, the earth replenishing itself with the rain, and how fascinating that is to just sit there and listen to, you know, earth giving itself the ability to spring forth into life through the rain. And, it's just so refreshing. It was so refreshing. And, you know, it pulled me out of the busyness. It pulled me out of my routine. And it reminded me again that life continues and moves on, whether I acknowledge it or not.
Right. Absolutely. Nature is such a wonderful thing. I like to go and spend time in nature as long as I get to go in after dark.
And it's not 150 degrees outside.
As long as it's not 150 degrees outside, yes. As long as it's a nice, balmy 70 degrees and no rain. And
slight breeze.
No bugs. No snakes, then I don't mind it. Okay. Gratitude journaling. Regularly writing down things that you're thankful for can also be a way to get in touch spiritually. It helps to boost your well-being. It makes you think about those things that you're grateful for. It helps boost your sense of belonging, as well as helps battle depression. You know, when you sit down and think of the good things that are going on in your life and write them down and take a moment to be thankful for them.
Absolutely, because anytime we step back and we remember on the regular of the grace that other people give us, or just simple kindness out of, you know, they have nothing to gain out of it.
Right.
It reminds us that there's love in the world. There's ability inside of other people to be just basic kind, you know, to have basic kindness towards one another, and that not everything in the world is broken. and not everything in the world is going wrong.
Right.
And that's very hard because we're inundated with negative news sales, obviously, and we're inundated with negative reports, negative pressure, negative situations.
Right.
And we forget that all these other things do happen, and just the small acts of kindness. And it's, you know, it reminds me of a quote out of the Hobbit, where Gandalf, this is from the movies, where Gandalf is talking to a group of other people, and you know, they're talking to him about, you know, how terrible things are in the world and how rough things, and, you know, how could somebody as small as a little hobbit help bring change and bring inspiration. He says, "I find that it's not great power, it's not great might, but it's the small acts of kindness every day that brings change and that keeps evil at bay."
Right.
And so, you know, I remind myself on the regular, if you're putting that out in the world and it's combining with other people, it can be that thing that keeps folks from going onto the brink and the edge and hurt,
right,
you know. And so it's so important to remind ourselves of those things.
And that segues into the next one, which is acts of service, helping others, even in small ways, often invokes a sense of connection and meaning that are described as spiritual. It's important that, you know, we take time to help others, to make them feel loved and cared for and accepted.
Yeah.
Because that's all part of that, you know, building family, building connection. And connection is also what helps us connect into that spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, connecting to each other, to connect before an all-powerful being, you know?
Yeah. We're designed for relationships. We are built for relationships. You know, some people need more and deeper than others, but we all need some type of connection, whether it's just the brief interaction with another human being for the day, or, you know, those deep relationships with friends. And so we're all built for those connections and relationships. We're designed for it.
Right.
As much as introverts will scream, "No, I don't want to be around anybody," eventually they have to admit that they have the need and they have the actual desire to have that connection.
Right. Agreed. Art and music. Engage with the arts. Listen deeply to music. You just talked about playing your music. Immerse yourself in painting or poetry. These moments can unlock feelings of transcendence and inspiration.
Yeah.
We're surrounded by a lot of different artists in our lives who are constantly reminding us of that. Artists and musicians. So.
Yeah.
But I do find for myself personally that my greatest connection to the divine sometimes comes in listening to music.
Yeah, definitely the same here. I love music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the last one is contemplative reading. I'll get it out in a minute. Read works that make you ponder, philosophy, science, poetry. Let yourself sit with questions rather than rushing to answers. I would make a suggestion. Do not start with Les Mis. It's a little long for that kind of contemplation.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no, pull that one out, didn't you?
So, yeah, I'm not going to pull that one out for your first spiritual walk.
Oh, good gracious.
So as we prepare to wrap up here, today's edition, let's revisit a couple of ideas. Spirituality is not a club that you're either in or out of. It's an ongoing process of searching, questioning, connecting with yourself and others. And you can find that spiritual connection with the divine or in nature or with whatever just by taking time to reflect on the world around you. Be open to moments of awe and wonder wherever they appear. Practice mindfulness and gratitude, even if only for a few minutes each day. Engage in art, nature, and acts of kindness, and join in conversations with new and exciting people. What are some of your thoughts, Reverend Mark?
Well, I would say to people that are either considering that consider themselves skeptics or classified by people, I would definitely say to you, questions are okay. Seeking for answers, seeking for a piece on a particular idea, there's nothing wrong with that. That we have that inborn and natural desire to know and to discover. And, you know, my belief says that the one I believe in has such depth and the ability to show that to us that, you know, the questions are warranted and can be handled. So, yeah, ask away. Ask your questions. Explore, dig until you find that peace and that satisfaction of, I think I found the right thing.
Very good. Well, thank you, Reverend Mark, for joining us this evening.
Thank you, Bishop, for having us, and Miss Dana for keeping us in line over there.
That's right. Absolutely. And thank you to everyone for joining us on this episode of Expanding Your Faith. Wherever you stand on the spectrum of skepticism or spirituality, I hope you found something to ponder, practice, or share. Until next time, keep questioning, keep connecting, and keep expanding your faith. If you enjoyed this conversation, consider subscribing to Expanding Your Faith, leaving a review, or sharing this episode with a friend. Have a topic or question for a future episode? Send it our way at info@OurSt.Francis.org. That's info@OurSt.Francis.org. Wishing you a week full of curiosity, meaning, and a little bit of wonder. Keep shining bright, my friends. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Expanding Your Faith. For more information on Expanding Your Faith, check us out on Facebook.com/Expanding Your Faith. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and wherever you find your podcasts. Until next week, when we once again attempt to expand your faith, keep shining bright.